Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can actually open them to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going way back into the Old Testament this morning. We're going to actually take a little break from our current series on our core values to do kind of a special message in honor of Mother's Day. Now, if you've been around here the past Mother's Days, you know that I always try to be sensitive on this day. Because even though this is a joyous day for many people, I also know that it's a very difficult day for others. Many have lost their mothers, and this makes it a day that is extremely difficult. There are some that maybe haven't had a good relationship with their mother, and so this day is hard for them. And then there are those who desire to be moms, but aren't yet. My wife and I know the pain of this all too well. As we tried for 7 years, we kept trying and trying to have kids. And in that process, when we finally were excited, dealt with a miscarriage. And so during that time, I just remember every Mother's Day was so hard for my wife. It was just a painful reminder of what we wanted and hadn't experienced. And so if any of us are here today walking through one of those challenges, I pray that the God of all comfort will be with all of us today, and that we'll be able to trust in God's good and perfect will for our life, because he loves us unconditionally, and he's with us in the midst of all the challenges that we face in this fallen, broken world. Amen. Now, as we dive into our message this morning, we're gonna look at a very special mother in the Bible named Hannah. But I'm not going to focus as much on Hannah the mother as I am on Hannah the woman, or even more so, the person of faith that she was. Because I believe this isn't just a message for mothers today, okay? So if you're here and, oh great, I don't need to listen. No, this isn't just a message for mothers. It's a message for all of us. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read a big chunk of scripture here in 1 Samuel 1, 1 through 28, but I'll try to read through it fast here. It says this: "There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophnis and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, 'Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.' As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, 'How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine.' 'Not so, my Lord,' Hannah replied. 'I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. She said, may your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. In verse 21, it says, when her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, her husband Elkanah told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed the son until he had been weaned, or till she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord of Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, pardon me, my lord. As surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And we're going to stop there this morning. As we read through this chapter, we see that Hannah was an amazing woman of faith, a woman who was committed to seek the Lord and to carry out God's will. And so this morning, I want to look at this idea of being people of faith, like Hannah was. And so what does it mean to be a person of faith? And how does a person of faith's life look different from others? And how does it look the same as others? And so as I read through this section of Scripture, there were four things in particular that I think that we can learn from the life of Hannah. Four things about being a person of faith. And I think the first thing is this. We have to understand, number one, people of faith experience problems like everyone else, right? People of faith experience problems like everyone else. I think a lot of times when we look at Bible figures or even great Christian men or women in our world today or that have been in our world today, people like Billy Graham, Rick Warren, you know, Andy Stanley, Beth Moore, Kelly Minter, whoever comes to your mind when you think of these great men or women of God today, when we think of these people, we somehow think that their life has been different than ours, right? That maybe life was somehow easier for them. And yes, I believe some people's lives may seem less challenging from the outside when we look at it than others. I mean, honestly, if we're honest, right, our lives here in Dallas, Oregon right now probably seem a lot easier than those living in Ukraine right now, right? When we look at our lives, it's a lot different. But the reality is we all have problems, right? We all go through challenges and difficulties in our life, things that cause us hurt, things that cause us pain. And those challenges and difficulties are huge to all of us, right? They hurt all of us as we go through them. And this was no different for Hannah here in the Bible. First off, we discover that she's barren. She's unable to get pregnant, which in that time was one of the worst things possible for a woman. Because a woman's main role in life in these times was to provide children for their husband. God had told his people to be fruitful and multiply. And so the men just assumed that that was the job of the women, right? To bear children. And so to not be able to bear children was devastating for Hannah. And the fact is, to be barren was actually considered to be a curse in those days. It was believed that either the woman or her family, somebody must have sinned or failed in some way to have this curse upon your life. And so this means that Hannah would have been looked down upon by most people in her community. And being barren is what led to her second problem, right? Her husband having a second wife. You see, it's most likely that Elkanah married Hannah first. It's obvious how much he loved her, right? He loved her. It tells us this in the scriptures. And he seemed to even love her more than his second wife. But as a Levite, one who helped care for the temple, there would have been a lot of pressure to have sons to be able to carry on his work. And so because Hannah was barren, this probably led to him taking on a second wife, one who could bear him children. Now, this was a practice that had become common for the people of Israel. And let me say this. I don't think this was ever God's intention for his people or for marriage. Because any scripture where God talks about marriage, it always refers to husband and wife, right? Not husband and wives, plural, one wife. I believe that this is one of those times where they manipulated what God said to actually try to fix something that wasn't broke, right? We saw this actually in the scriptures even earlier in the Old Testament with Abraham and Sarah. God told Abraham he would have a son, right? And when Sarah wasn't getting pregnant, when Sarah seemed barren in her old age, they thought, well, the only way it's going to happen is if Abraham sleeps with Sarah's maidservant. And so he did. And they did get a son. But that wasn't the son that God was talking about. They tried to fix something that didn't need to be fixed. Instead, they should have waited and trusted in the Lord. And this idea of multiple wives is one of those things that they tried to make excuses for. But every time we see this in the scripture, it always caused problems, right? We see that there were problems here with Hannah and Peninnah, right? Peninnah is jealous of the love that Elkanah shows to Hannah. And so she's constantly provoking her to the point of tears. And so we see here that even though Hannah was a person of faith, she still experienced problems. And the reality is we all face problems. Some may because of our own failures, because the Bible says we reap what we sow, right? So there are some things we do bring on ourselves. But some things that we face are just because we live in a fallen, broken world. And it's not because of things that we have done. And the thing we have to realize is that we can't let the problems that we face keep us from trusting in God. Even though Hannah experienced problems and difficulties, she continued to put her trust in the Lord. And God's desire is that we too will continue to trust Him despite our problems, despite the difficulties. Because here's the thing, our problems don't define us. The world will tell us they do. We often think they do. But our problems don't define us. Who we are in Christ, that's what defines us. We all have problems. That's okay? The key is that we have to keep seeking to follow the Lord, which leads me to the second thing that I think we can learn from Hannah, which is this. People of faith pray, right? People of faith pray. They seek the Lord. Hannah had problems, But those problems led her to seek the Lord and pray, because people of faith pray. In verse 10 it says, in her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord. And then in verse 15, later after Eli accused her of being drunk, what did she say? She said, I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. And so we have to understand, this wasn't one of those quick prayers, right, that people throw out to the Lord when they're going through difficult times, when they're going through things that aren't going their way. This was a continual prayer that she had been bringing to the Lord again and again, year after year. This was what I refer to as a heartfelt prayer. It actually tells us in verse 13 that Hannah was praying in her heart. You see, we can't forget the power of heartfelt prayers. We're told in Psalm 37:4 to take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. There is something to these heartfelt prayers. And that's because heartfelt prayers are prayers that line up with the will and the heart of God. When we're seeking God and His will, His heart becomes our heart. His desires become our desires. So then we begin to pray His will to be done in our lives. As we seek God through prayer, and when we actually take time to listen to His response, when we listen to that still, small voice, it enables us to align our hearts, right? To bring our hearts in alignment with His. And it's those heartfelt prayers that truly make a difference. It's those heartfelt prayers that impact the world around us. Hannah had been barren for quite some time, while her husband's other wife had had many sons and daughters. But she continued to seek the Lord, and she continued to pray for His will to be done in her life. And think about this. Can you imagine if Hannah could have seen into the future? She would have seen that God's timing is perfect, and that in God's timing, she would have a son. And that one day that son would anoint David to be king over Israel. And what if Elkanah could have seen into the future? He wouldn't have had to take on this second wife that he didn't really seem to love. And Peninnah, she could have married someone that would have been devoted to her, and she wouldn't have had to live with this jealousy that she lived with. Because we know that even though she was able to have kids, she too experienced problems. If we only knew, and maybe more importantly, if we only trusted the plans that God has for us, we'd probably be a lot more patient and willing to wait on Him. But instead of praying and giving it to God, we often take things into our own hands, trying to make our will His, right? Instead of vice versa. When we look at Hannah here, we see that something changed after praying and seeking the Lord in this moment. After crying out to God, in verse 18 it says, she went away and her face was no longer downcast. Which in my mind means that she walked away with a sense of peace. Even though the answer had not come yet, there was this peace, which I believe speaks volumes. You see, I believe we should cry out to the Lord, that we should contend for miracles. I believe that we should tell Him our hopes and our desires. But I'm learning more and more that prayer is not about getting the answer that I want, right? It's about resting in His good and perfect will. It's trusting that His will is right. It's walking away knowing that our prayers are in good hands, right? They're in God's hands. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Prayer has the power to take our problems and all the anxieties that come with them and turn them into peace. His perfect peace, right? The kind of peace that transcends all understanding. And so regardless of the problems and difficulties we face in this world, we have to continue to give them and take them to the Lord. People of faith experience problems like everyone else, but people of faith pray and give those problems to the Lord. And then when we continue to do that, we find number three, people of faith experience God's blessings. In verse 20 it says, "So in the course of time Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I asked the Lord for him.'" Because of Hannah's faith, she experienced God's blessing upon her life. It's interesting, the last 2 weeks I've had points in my message that talk about God's blessings. And I believe that God loves to bless us. He loves to bless His children. In Matthew 7:11, it tells us how God loves to give good gifts to His children, right? He desires to bless us. I know I've shared this a lot. I actually have shared this recently. But some of the greatest advice I've ever received when it comes to experiencing God's blessings came from Pastor Ron Mell at that famous youth pastor conference I talk about years ago. And it was something his mom told him when he was heading off to Bible college. She said, "If you want to experience God's blessings in your life, then be blessable. Be blessable." And what she was basically saying was, give God a reason to want to bless you. If we are walking in faith, and if we are doing our best to honor God in all that we do, man, God is going to want to bless us, right? And vice versa, if we're not honoring God and not following His commands, then why would He want to bless us? I'm guessing many of us here are familiar with the Hebrews chapter 11. If you aren't familiar with Hebrews 11, it's often referred to as the Hall of Faith, right? In reference to the Hall of Fame, but it's the Bible's Hall of Faith. And that's because it talks about all these amazing men and women of faith from the Old Testament. It talks about people like Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Joshua, David, and the list just goes on and on and on of all these amazing men and women of faith. But the key aspect of all these men and women is they were known for their faith. They were known to be people of faith. And the thing is, all of these men and women, they experienced God's blessings upon their lives. Their faithfulness to God made them blessable. Yeah, they messed up at times like all of us. None of them were perfect. But when they fell, they picked themselves up and continued to walk in faith. And here we see that Hannah was no different. Despite her problems and struggles, she remained faithful to God. And because of that, I believe that's why she experienced His blessings on her life. And then the final thing we see in these scriptures from the life of Hannah is this. People of faith keep their promises. Hannah dedicated herself to her child, nursing him, nurturing him, knowing that when he was able to eat on his own, she would take him to the temple to be raised to do the work of the Lord. In verses 27 and 28, she says to Eli the priest, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Now, this wasn't a baby dedication like we do here in our church, right? Where we dedicate them to the Lord and pray over their life and then send them back home with their parents. Hannah actually took her son Samuel to the temple and left him there to live and serve the Lord. When she cried out to God, she made a promise to God. She made a promise to the Lord. Now, I know that many people in desperation cry out to the Lord making all sorts of promises, right? Lord, if you get me out of this, I will serve you for the rest of my life, right? Get me out of this, I promise I'll never sin again. Lord, if you do this for me, I'll live my life for you this day forward. I mean, we throw out these kinds of prayers, right? People make all sorts of promises in times of desperation, and we know that they often forget those promises over time. Or there are those that the moment their prayer is answered, they forget the promise. But this isn't the case with Hannah. She made a promise, and she was faithful to keep her promise. And I can only imagine how hard this promise must have been. She prayed all these years for a child, and now she's given it back to the Lord. But she knew God had been faithful to her, and so she knew she needed to be faithful to God. And I believe Hannah understood something that many of us struggle with as parents. The fact that our kids don't really belong to us. They're the Lord's. And it's simply our responsibility to steward them to the best of our ability and to keep our promise as men and women of God to raise them in the ways of the Lord. Hannah was faithful to do that. That very last line of this chapter says, and he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel was very young. He was a young boy, right? Had just been weaned, but it says he worshiped the Lord there. I believe this. I believe that Hannah knew the commands God had given to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 6:6-7, which says this, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Hannah knew these commands. And I believe she spoke to her son about the Lord. You see, it's one thing to say it's one thing to say that our children are dedicated to the Lord. It's another thing to give them to the Lord fully, as Hannah did here. Hannah kept her promise. And the cool thing is because of her faithfulness, God blessed Hannah even more. Let me share with you what we find out in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the end, in verses 19 through 21. It says this, each year his mother, Samuel's mother Hannah, made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer an annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord. Then they would go home. And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. God blessed Hannah. God has called us to be people of faith, people who dedicate our lives to follow him, understanding that as people of faith, we're still going to experience problems and challenges in this world. When we say yes to Jesus, it's not like, yeah, we say yes to Jesus and all our problems go away. I hate pastors that kind of preach that. Oh, give your life to Jesus, everything will just work out perfectly. It doesn't. We live in a fallen, broken world. We're going to face problems and challenges. But here's the thing, when we take those problems to God, and when we pray and seek him with all that we are, And when we continue to keep our promise to love Him in all situations, our hearts begin to align with His. And we become people of faith just like Hannah. That's God's desire for our life. And I hope it's our desire as well. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, Your word is full of so many men and women of faith who continue to serve You in the midst of challenges and difficulties, Lord. Their lives are no different than us. Yeah, they lived at a different time and things may have been different in those days. But the reality is there's always been struggles. There's always been this battle that's not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers of this dark world. And we experience hurts and pains and challenges. Doesn't matter who we are. No respecter of age, race, position, whoever we all experience problems and difficulties in life. But Lord, You promised to be with us. That is the promise that You have given us. You didn't promise to take us out of the world in these situations, but You promised to be with us in the midst of them. And Lord, You are a God that has been faithful, faithful, faithful. And Lord, we want to learn how to be people who are faithful as well. We want to learn how to be people who seek You with all of our heart, to live the lives that You've called us to live, to love You and to honor You in every aspect and every way, Lord. And so we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this time to look at this amazing woman, Hannah, and how she lived her life. Lord, it's just one example of amazing people throughout the Bible. But Lord, we want to learn to be people of faith like Hannah. We want to learn to be people of faith that we see throughout the Scriptures, Lord, that are no different than us. There's nothing that made them any better than us than the fact that they chose to follow You and that You use them in great ways. And if we choose to follow You, Lord, You'll use us in great ways, ways that go beyond our thoughts or imaginations, Lord. Whether that's just loving our neighbors, whether that's caring for those around us, helping, serving in ways that impact lives, Lord. If we're faithful to You, we'll experience Your blessings and be used by You in a mighty ways. And so, Lord, I know I want to be that person. I pray that for all of us here, Lord. And so may we take these things that we learned from Hannah and learn to apply them to our life. Lord, where are those areas in this message today that we can grab hold of and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do better at this. I'm going to seek to do this with my life because I want to be someone that's considered a person of faith. And so, Lord, we give You all these things. We give You this morning. We just pray that You bless mothers today, that You bless women today, and that You remind them of their value, how much You love them, and Your desire, Lord, to use them in this fallen, broken world. We thank You, we praise You, in Jesus' name, amen.